May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a place where suffering and joy meet. This is an important place. It's important for us as faithful followers of Jesus to know of this place. This is the place where heaven and earth overlap. This is the place where our loved ones, whom we celebrate today, the saints who have gone before us, reside, where they continue to grow in God's love and service. This is the place where we experience the presence of God here among us and with us. And it is this place where suffering and joy meet that Jesus is speaking of in the Beatitudes, that beautiful beginning opening to the Sermon on the Mount that we heard read just now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. But nobody can, nobody can listen to that list, those beautiful statements of blessing, and not recognize that there is a problem, that we don't have access to that sense of blessing. Now, Jesus is not talking about a blessing that will come at some future time. He's talking about a present reality, but we have trouble accessing that present reality. As beautiful as the Beatitudes are, we yearn for a beatitude world and mourn at times that it is not present for us. We want to be in that place where suffering and joy meet, because it is in that place that our mourning is transformed. It is in that place where suffering and joy meet that our grief is transformed, not into some sense of happiness, but into a sense of peace and even joyfulness that can endure. When Jesus gives us these perplexing beatitudes, he's describing a way of living, a way of life. He's describing a way of knowing and experiencing the presence of God. He's describing how we live in that place where suffering and joy meet, where earth and heaven overlap and transform one another. But as Christians, we know how fleeting that experience can be. We know how often we can feel as though God is not there for us. We struggle to find ourselves in that place where suffering and joy meet. Now, I want to share a couple of stories with you this morning. These are things that happened to me in the past year, stories from my own life. I have to admit right now that the first story includes my wife, and she's sitting right there, so I've got to be real careful. And the second story includes my mother-in-law, and when I wrote this sermon, I didn't know that she would be here, but she is. Hi, Joan. Welcome. But she comes out much better in the story than I do, so I think it's going to be okay. All right, so the first of the two stories that I want to share with you happened this summer when Alice and I traveled to Virginia to visit my father and stepmother. And I believe this was the worst trip that I have ever been on. it was truly a nightmare. In the 3 weeks leading up to the trip, Alice was very sick, which is really unusual. She just doesn't get sick. But she had a terrible cold. And then on the tail end of that cold, she got a kidney infection and she was just really sick. And we took her to the doctor and they gave her these really powerful antibiotics. And she seemed to be getting better. And then on the night before we left, she got a really high fever again. She was miserable. And so we took her to the emergency room. You don't mess around with a high fever. Especially when she had already been diagnosed with a kidney infection and we thought she was getting better. They tested her, they pumped her full of intravenous antibiotics, they did all kinds of things, and at about 12:30 in the morning they said, "Well, we think you're fine. You're good to go. Go ahead, take your trip. You've got so many antibiotics floating through your system right now that nothing could survive it. I think that by the time you get to Virginia, you're going to be feeling just fine." And so we got home, I don't know, around 1 o'clock in the morning and finished packing. And we had a car coming to pick us up at 4:30 in the morning so that we could be there by 5:15 so we could get through security and catch the early flight. So we got about an hour of sleep and we sort of drug ourselves down to the curb and loaded things into the taxi and went to the airport. And we got through security really quickly, and I thought, this is a good sign. It's going to be a good trip. And we walk in, and we step into the boarding area, and it's already very full. And as we're walking in, before we've even found a seat to sit down in and wait the last half hour before boarding starts, they announced a gate change. And so we turned around and marched back down three gates over to where the flight was now going to be leaving, and everyone stood up and grabbed all of their belongings and schlepped down the hallway, three gates down, and joined us. And people were starting to sit down, and they were still streaming into the area when they announced that, well, actually, after all, they were going to leave from the original gate. So please go back. And so we all picked up our things and went back. And that was pretty much how the trip went. We had a layover in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's a big airport. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a huge airport. And we had like 40 minutes between landing and the departure of the other flight. And so you had to just book it, you know, move as soon as you get there. I won't tell all the story because some of it's really ugly. But we got there and the plane was delayed on the tarmac and couldn't get into the gate. And so we got into the gate with maybe just barely enough time if we went as fast as possible to make it to the other gate. And so we just trudged our way through, and we couldn't run because Alice was, you know, not feeling great. We finally get there, having moved as quickly as we could, and as we walk into the gate area, they announced a half-hour delay. And a half-hour later, they announced a gate changed. And then they changed the gate back to the original gate without announcing it. So 5 hours later, we were sitting on the airplane, which was still unmoved. It hadn't moved yet when they canceled the flight. And we got off the plane and we found a hotel to stay in. And I got in the line to get reservations on a flight the next day and try to make sure that we were actually going to make it to Charlottesville from Charlotte. And I was so angry. I was so frustrated. I was just, all of my emotional reserves were gone. I remember thinking to myself, this isn't really an airport. I'm in hell. or at least it's purgatory. And the objective isn't to get to Charlottesville. The objective is to find kindness in my soul and be kind to another human being, and then I will be released from purgatory and allowed to continue our trip to Charlottesville. But I couldn't find it. I could not find kindness in my soul. I was so angry and so used up. They wouldn't even give us our luggage back. So we had to go to the hotel for the night without even a toothbrush. Now, this was really upsetting, but what was truly the most upsetting to me about this trip wasn't how badly the travel went. It's how badly I dealt with it. It's how I lost my capacity to see the humanity in the people that were trying to help us get to Charlottesville. I was so angry and so frustrated, and this darkness overwhelmed me. At one point during this trip, Alice turned to me and she looked at me and she said, "David, I never want to travel with you again." She has forgiven me since then. Okay, so now I want to tell another story. And this story happened last weekend, a week ago Saturday. Alice's mother is moving into an in-law apartment at our house, and we had it all ready, but it needed some furniture and some fixings, and so we thought we'd go to IKEA. So we went down to IKEA on Saturday morning, and we got a wheelchair for Joan, because she walks with a cane, and we thought, you know, long walk through a big store. And we made our way into IKEA, and I got the pleasure of pushing the wheelchair. And let me just stop here and give you a little aside. See, I believe that there are two different kinds of shoppers. There are the people who figure out what they want and need, and they go online, and they figure out where that will be found for the best price and the most efficient way of getting to it, and they plan their trip to get to the item or items that they need. They select those items quickly and make their way out of the store. That's one type of shopper. And then there are the other shoppers, and I love you, Joan, but this is her type of shopping, okay? The second type of shopper, they like to go someplace where there are nice things and hang out and be near the nice things and maybe move through them and then look at them and touch them and pick them up and even smell them. And some of them will speak to you and you will buy them, and others will not, and you will leave them behind. And we're about an hour and a half into IKEA, and Joan starts laughing at me. She says, "You're going crazy, aren't you? You just want to be done." I was more than going crazy. I actually felt that darkness, that same darkness that really took over in Charlotte in that terrible airport. It's actually not a terrible airport, but my terrible experience in that airport. I felt that darkness beginning. And then we actually stopped to buy the couch that was the main thing that we were there. And I had an interaction with one of the IKEA employees. And I made a joke with her. And I don't even remember what the joke was. It was probably really stupid. But we both laughed. And here's the thing. The darkness receded just a little bit. And then I continued pushing Joan through the store. And I was feeling this the oppression of all of these people, and I had to be careful not to bump into anyone with the wheelchair or bump Joan into any of the displays, and I was starting to feel really anxious and upset, and the darkness was growing again. And we came around a corner, and there was a teenage girl in a wheelchair. She had a brace on her leg. I don't know if she sprained it or broke it or something, but anyway, she's there in a wheelchair, and I looked at her, and I said, "Want to race?" And she said, "Yeah." we didn't race, but the darkness receded a little bit more. And then we got into the line for lunch to get our Swedish meatballs and root vegetables. And the line was long. We got there a little bit after noon, and it's Saturday, and we're making our way through this line, and we finally, after about 7 hours, I think it was, get to the front of the line where they actually are loading meatballs onto your plate. And I smiled across the glass divider at the woman that was loading root vegetables and meatballs onto our plates. And she smiled back, and she said, "Keep on smiling. It's infectious." And it was. And the darkness was gone. At that point, the darkness was gone. I still never want to go there again. But the darkness was gone, and I was able to laugh at the experience of being in IKEA. And then yesterday, this is a bonus experience. Yesterday, we went shopping again, And we were at Fred Meyer this time, the one on Lake City Way, and it was really busy, and the aisles are kind of crowded, and we had a big cart because we were doing a big trip, getting all kinds of stuff, and I started to feel that feeling again. I'm going to kill somebody if we don't get out of here. And I thought, what can I do? And I thought, okay, so I'm going to try it. I just wrote a sermon about this. I can do this. And so I tried making a little joke with somebody, and their response was, they snapped at me, and I said, I'm just trying to be nice. But I didn't give up. I kept looking for that place in our hearts where heaven and earth overlap, because it is there. It is a place of faith. It is a place where we can recognize the divine in others. And it's not some grand theological thing. Sometimes it's just a smile as you wait for someone else to move so you can get down the aisle at Fred Meyer. And I found that place. And I kept smiling and trying to give away cheer to the people around me without being creepy. Just be cheerful, okay? That place where suffering and joy meet is the place where heaven and earth overlap. And the stories that I have told were about frustration and anger and anxiety in my own heart. But that same place, that same experience of bringing suffering and joy together is real, whether we're talking about the loss of a loved one or some other ordeal that life puts us through. Because life does have suffering. And when we can find that place of faith, when we can find and trust that God is present with us and bring ourselves to that place where earth and heaven overlap in faith, joy and suffering do come together, and they are transformed. And as I said earlier, it's not the kind of joy where we're going to be happy and skipping. It's a kind of joy that can stand next to suffering and endure. That's the place where heaven and earth overlap. That's the place where our loved ones, the saints that we celebrate today, reside with God. That's the place where suffering and joy meet and we encounter God. It's there that we encounter the humanity of others. It's there that we're connected to one another and all our loved ones who have gone on before us. That's the value of faith. That's why this is all worthwhile. This isn't just about theology. This is about living transformed lives. And the transformation happens in profound and difficult times and in silly times like shopping at Fred Meyer or IKEA. The value of coming together each week and worshiping God and hearing the gospel is that we have a greater capacity to find that place where suffering and joy come together. Coming together in worship in times of grief and in times of joy and in ordinary times increases our resilience, our capacity to find that place where heaven and earth overlap. That place of blessing, that solid and grounded place where there isn't just suffering, there is suffering and joy together in the presence of God.